Hello, welcome to a guided reflection with me, Danielle Laporte. This is for relationship nourishment. This is for relationships in our lives, any kind of relationship, familial, romantic, friendship, people we work with, our community, that we want to nurture and enrich and deepen the intimacy and the connection and the fluidity of love, bring it to both a deeper and higher level, that beautiful, inclusive space of the heart. Reflect anywhere. This could be in the cafe. You could be journaling with pencil and paper on your sofa on a Sunday morning. The intention here is that we go deeper into creating lives based on higher values. Yeah, here we go. Relationship nourishment, friendship, bonding, laughter, support, healing, comfort, solidarity, union, care, mercy, please have mercy, joy, sisterhood, brotherhood, humanhood, romantic partnership, friendship with our family, in business, in school, and community. Relationships are how we learn. They are how we heal, how we express ourselves in truth, in truth, in truth, dissolving disguises in relationship. So I think all relationships, really the heart of them, the spirit of them, is friendship. And friendships are how we transform. And I believe that we are here on earth to transform. That transformation is healing. We are here to heal, to evolve, to move it all forward. And by all, I mean consciousness, humanity, love, existence, forward, upward, upward toward the divine. And that means that all relationships are vessels of transformation. All relationships are opportunities for healing, for transmutation. So I think what happens is that our souls call us together. Our souls call us together, and we are also supported by cosmic alignments, supported by higher guidance to be called together. And we form bonds with people. So our souls call us to the bond, and higher guidance directs us to that bond. And there we have it, relationships. And as we all know, sometimes those bonds are like full of tension and we experience lots of pain and frustration. And other times the connection can feel like salvation, like bliss. But every bond, no matter how long it plays out, every bond leads to deeper spiritual refinement, both individually and collectively, because we as individuals make up the collective. All this to say, relationships are a very big deal. You know this in your heart, you know this in your mind, you know this with every cell of your being, and that is why we are gathered here today for relationship nourishment. So let's break it down even further. There's two kinds of relationships. It's really pretty simple. Ego-based relationships and soul-based relationships. We're going for the soul-based kind of relationships. And before I go further, I just want to pause here for a second to acknowledge that I work with an energy healer to get all of this theory in the right sequence and the proper languaging. So it's as if I have a monk on speed dial, a very high-level spiritual practitioner, because I only want to get correct information out to humanity, real wisdom. So I make sure that I get some esoteric backup. And what I do is I work my own learnings and the esoteric input, the information, through my own experience. I never teach or preach about anything that I don't know to be true in my own body, in my own life. And then I roll things out in the most relatable, contemporary way possible. So when I collaborate, when I co-create any kind of meditative visualization offering, like this walking reflection is, you can just know that there is a cosmic tag team who's behind the scenes working for you. All right, let's go. ego-based relationships. When we are centralized, coming from the ego, we will create relationship bonds from an unconscious place because the ego wants to keep us unconscious. So imagine that you have seeds of thought and ideas, so thoughts and ideas that are buried in your psyche, buried in your subconscious. And if you're ego-driven, those subconscious seeds, the buried ones that you can't quite clearly see, those seeds are going to direct your choices, unconscious choices, our unhealed thoughts. The subconscious thoughts are our unexamined thoughts. It's the opposite of consciousness. It's the opposite of knowing what we're thinking and why we're thinking what we're thinking and how our thoughts are influencing our behavior. Another way to look at this is your subconscious thoughts are the stuff in the basement of our psyche, things that we have not yet brought to the light of our awareness, not yet. So that means if we're operating from the ego, from the stuff in the basement of our psyche, we're operating from an unhealed place. Unhealthy seeds lead to unhealthy choices. Anybody thinking about relationships that may have come from unhealthy choices? This explains a lot, if not all, of our painful and way less than satisfying dynamics that we can have in relationships. So let me get into the characteristics of ego-based friendships and all relationships. This is going to be a really gnarly list, but it's a very human list, a beautifully human list, and we're all working through this together. So let me preface this rollout to saying we need to have compassion for ourselves and each other for everything that is on the list of ego-based relationships. Ego-based relationships validate our perceived lack of worth. I'm going to say this again. This is what ego-based relationships do. They just validate our perceived lack of worth. And this is really critical to understand. The ego mind wants us to stay small. It wants to keep the seeds of our beauty, of our truth, of our strength, away from the light. So in the dark subconscious stuff. So ego isn't always about self-inflatedness or grandeur or arrogance. It's more about being stuck in the illusion that we are unworthy. And when we are coming from that place, when we are seeking relationships from the perspective that we are unworthy, which P.S. is a lie, it's not true, then we will seek out relationships from that warped perspective. And therefore, we're going to engage in warped dynamics, unhealthy dynamics, stuff that is not good for us. We're going to seek out, attract, allow, and perpetuate relationships that validate the lie that we're unworthy. So we're going to feel unworthy no matter what that other person does. They could be an amazing human, by the way. They could even treat us with incredible love and respect, but the dynamic that we create is just going to highlight that script, the script that the ego has written for us, that we are unworthy. So we're going to do one of two things. We are going to try and be more superior to get on top of that lie of unworthiness, or we're going to sink into an inferiority complex to validate that lie of unworthiness. Friendships, relationships based on the ego create imbalance. There's no way to create a foundation of wellness and balance when the ego is directing your choices, when that voice of criticism to self and others is directing your choices. So imbalanced roles will lead to dominance dynamics. So trying to have control over people, over groups, over situations, or they're going to lead to giving up control. The ego loves to be in control, or it loves to have you feel controlled, because the ego fears freedom and balance. Freedom and balance are the medicine that the ego needs to dissolve. So an ego-based relationship is going to create internal disharmony. You know this. It's difficult to find peace within yourself. And that absence of peace within is going to show up in your relationships, your friendships, and groups. It's going to show up as self-centeredness, happens to all of us, as delusions of grandeur. It also shows up in how we, or the other person, is manipulating resources. So with the ego in charge, it's going to try to over-control things that aren't ours. It's going to try and over-control time and money and energy and, you know, all the systems of creating a lifestyle. It's going to try and over-control what should be shared. Or, opposite end of the spectrum, if we are coming from that ego place of unworthiness, we will let people take control over our resources, over the resources that should be shared fluidly in a relationship. So when we're in the ego loop, we tend to over-accentuate what's typically called the mother and father wound. I'm hearing this languaging, this theme a lot in the personal development space, the mother and father wound. Really, you know, the mother and father wound can sometimes lead to a lot of misplaced blame. We're overemphasizing some of or any of the pain that we got from our family of origin. So more accurately, the pain that we're experiencing from outside sources in current time, that's actually coming from our own internal imbalance of the feminine energy and masculine energy, or yin-yang energy. So it's our own imbalance of the yin and yang. And then what we do is we project it onto the past. We say, oh, that's my mother wound. That's my father wound. That's because of them. That's because of that, you know? It's our own stuff that we have going on that can come from numerous sources, numerous lifetimes, yeah? To oversimplify this, when anyone is operating from the ego, they tend to get really blamey. Happens to all of us. All right, stay with me. This is where we're really going to go deeper and look at our own stuff. And ultimately, this is so freeing eventually. Really, 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 I promise. These are the steps towards sovereignty and liberation and peace. I just want to say one more time before we go down this path. The ego is not always about arrogance and bigness and one-upmanship, although it is often about that. And when it is about that kind of arrogant perspective and behavior, you have to keep in mind it's really coming from a place, an internal voice of criticism that's saying you're small and unworthy, so inflate yourself, right? But just as strongly and as intensely, the ego within us will often show up as insecurity, as we're small. We think we're small. We think we don't matter. We're meek. We're timid. We shrink. We perceive that we don't have value, that we can't take up time, that we're not worthy. So we get ourselves in situations that reflect all of that back to us, in situations that tell us to stay small, to stay less than. So that is also the ego at work. The ego is a big veil to our greatness, to our light, our luminosity, our brilliance, our implicit and eternal love. Anything that tells us that we are not love and worthy of all the things that come from flowing love, all the abundance of love and compassion, anything that tells us that we are or anyone is the opposite of that is the ego at work. Let's keep going. Friendships and relationships based on ego are coming from our shadow self, the subconscious, the unhealed part of us, all right? When we engage in, create, seek out ego-based relationships, we are trying to fill a hole that we think is in our soul. It's a misperception. So it means, you know, it's a bit of expediency, a bit of usury. It's friendships of convenience. It's not quite honest. These relationships are not quite brave. It's not entirely love for love's sake. We don't want to be alone. We want to be cool. We want to be validated. We want to be understood. We want to be known. We want to be seen. We're afraid of who we would be without them. We have needs to fill. Who's going to fill them? All right, so by the way, don't criticize yourself at this moment if you are relating to this and resonating with this. You probably are relating and resonating because you're human. We're here right now in this experience, in this reflection, to just notice, and that noticing itself is an act of healing. We're taking an honest look in all directions so that we can grow. This is the human experience, and we're just breaking it down. Our souls know when we're doing the ego dance. We know it. We can feel it. We know we're not 100% authentic. We know we're just reaching, stretching, trying to get. We know that there is a void. There's a gap. We're aware of insincere interactions. We know they're a little bit gross on some level, depending how awake we are. We know that insincere interactions are just a little bit gross. We know. Ego relationships are transactional. You take care of me, and I'll take care of you. And we do such a magnificent job of making this look so glorious and so loving. You're taking care of me. Let me take care of you. It's still a transaction, you know? You comfort me, and then later, I'll comfort you. It's normal. We all do it. But it's this pat on the back kind of cycle, and it creates an imbalance. So it's an imbalanced space where both parties keep either performing or punishing, or we keep vying or negotiating for the love that we are craving for. And of course, this has varying degrees of intensity, you know. Sometimes this dynamic is just incredibly damaging and really gross. And at other times, it's, you know, it's like ego light, L-I-T-E. And we're keeping up appearances in a somewhat benign way, a caring way. But look, here's the thing. It's not ideal. And those relationship dynamics, you know, they're more like snack food. And real love, whole love, soul love is a banquet of nourishment. It's completely possible for everyone. It's our birthright. So let's talk about that feast of love, yeah? All right, soul relationships. Soul-based relationships are from the heart, the inclusive, compassionate heart space, beautiful space. How do we live from that heart space? Well, we do it a lot. We do it often to varying degrees. How do we have relationships that are soul-centered instead of ego-centered? It's simple and it's complex at the same time. We have soul-centered relationships by taking the point of view of the soul. So the soul sees everything to be included. The heart space, the soul space, is very inclusive in its nature. And from this higher place, that is where we can do the work of excavating everything that is in our shadow. So we're just going to clean stuff out so we can let more love and light in to include all of ourselves and all of somebody else and all of the dynamics within a relationship in the heart space. And here's the thing, we're actually doing that soul-centered work, that heart space work, with the support of the ego. So we're not bypassing the ego, we're collaborating with it. Why? Because in the heart space, everything is in. You bring your shadow in, you bring your ego in, you bring your impeccability in, you bring your magnificence in. That's inclusiveness. So from that space, from the heart space, we can look at the uncomfortable stuff that we have made a habit of keeping buried inside. This is a discovery process. And I can tell you, it's so liberating. This is the light in the light work, and the work is the shadow stuff. So you can take a look at the pain points and the ego manipulations and the neediness and your hurting and the scared aspects of ourselves. And what do? You ready? We accept all of it. We accept all of it. We pour our compassion onto all of it. We love it up. We get honest, and that honesty dissolves the illusions. I want to say that again, okay? We get honest, and that honesty dissolves the illusions, because the honesty is the light of consciousness being poured onto that which is not true. So what we're doing is we're bringing the wounded shadow aspects into our heart space. We befriend ourselves entirely. Just be with that. If you're walking right now, moving, we befriend ourselves entirely. This is what it takes to have soulful relationships. We begin with us. So what's that look like? We hold space for ourselves. We get comfortable with the discomfort, and we sit with our shadow wounds. And then we can hold space in our hearts for the wounds of others, for our friends, our family, our romantic partners, our teachers, our bosses, our neighbors. This is inclusiveness. This is divine love. This is divine power. Everybody's in. What we're doing here is we are moving the lies and illusions of unworthiness out of our minds and into our hearts. And that is where the transmutation happens. We're purifying, refining, enlivening our inner world. We're tending to the landscape of our heart. I love this. Oh, I hope you love it. Love it. It's all love. And then what happens when we do that? When we tend to the heart space, when we nourish the heart space, when we just pay attention to the heart space, what happens? We have beautiful relationships. We manifest new relationships, gorgeous friendships, more nourishing partnerships. We energetically attract people into our orbit with a similar heart nature, vibe to vibe, right? Other humans who have vitalized, lit up heart spaces, like our vitalized and lit up heart spaces, because we have been loving on ourselves. And this is called sympathetic resonance. It's proven. We attract the frequencies that we are emanating. So love yourself. Now, it's easy to say, but this is how we do it. Soul relationships are based on heart virtues. You know the truth of this in yourselves. The heart virtues of love within you, compassion within you, inclusiveness within you, joy within you, group determination within you, generosity within you, within all beings. Heart virtues. Soul-based relationships, because they're rooted in the heart, they are resilient and they are long-term. And by long-term, I mean they go beyond the big life transitions. They endure. They go beyond lifetimes. They have a quality of stability. They are stable because they're stable in love. They're stable in the nourishment they provide. They have a sustaining vibration. These soul-based relationships see us through. Here's a metaphor. Soul-based relationships, friendships, think of them like the solar system. So there's planets and the sun, and they're all in harmony. They are floating. They are in this nourishing, cohesive collaboration. Okay, so soul relationships, like the solar system. Now, ego friendships, ego relationships, are like comets hurling through that solar system. They're breaking through. They're very erratic. They're fleeting and temporary, and they bring havoc and destruction. Soul relationships are containers for growth on all levels. And I mean multidimensional growth. Your soul is growing as a result of what you give and receive in that relationship. Soul relationships expand our consciousness. This is why we're here. Soul relationships move us towards higher love, capital higher, capital love, towards inclusive love. Soul relationships, this is so beautiful, lead us towards group service. They make us better people. We become more inclusive, more attentive to all sentient beings around us. So here's another metaphor. Think of soul relationships as a landscape on which we grow virtues and love to nourish everyone involved. These amazing relationships we have are like farms for love. And that which we grow in that space nourishes our souls and everybody around us. They make us better people. And the bonus is that soul relationships help us to balance out our karmic patterns because we're doing good, deep healing work. We clean some stuff up in these relationships. So, you know where I'm headed with this. So naturally, soul relationships are not always comfortable. They might not look how you expect a quote-unquote soul relationship to look. Growth typically happens through friction. We also know this. And that friction is going to push us into those shadowy aspects of our psyche, to the places where we are wounded. And when we come from that wounded place, we are not always acting in everybody's best self-interest. We are not our most beautiful selves. But heart space includes all of ourselves. So a soul-based relationship is going to shine light on everybody's darkness. A soul-based relationship will shine light on everybody's wounds. It's really powerful stuff. It's how we get healed. It doesn't have to be all ugly. It's like, oh, I see that pain. Let me pour some love on that. And so naturally, the ego, which is all like constricting and repressive and oppressive and doesn't want you to be in the light or be expanded or be basking in love, the soul is going to want to run from these relationships almost every time, like duh. But if we can stay in that soul container, the relationship is a sacred container, then we can bring forth, in the sacredness of that space, we can bring forth both our dark and our light aspects. And that dance, because it's a dance, that weaving, that is what's called grace, the grace of being in it together. So you know where you can hit that stride in some relationships where it's just all up and out, everybody's stuff, but you're in it. You're holding each other. You are supporting each other to evolve. That's grace. You are going through so much. You've been through so much together, and the love has been, is still, and will always be flowing no matter what is up in the space. That's soul. That's grace. So in that space, in the soul relationship container, we can own and accept and celebrate our so-called differences. Because spaciousness, because in the heart space, inclusiveness, everything's in. And all those differences anyway, they're just surface level perceptions. We're not really different at the core. The soul is always aware that underneath all of the quote unquote perceived differences is pure divine love that holds all of us together. Love, capital love, knows that we are all in this together, that we are all deeply connected. So then let's keep finding more ways to make more love. So back to the discomfort part for just a minute. There can be a lot of contrasting energy in the container of a soul relationship. Let me unpack that for you. Contrasting energy, seemingly conflicting perspectives, right? Heavy ego perspective is really attracted to the light of soul energy. So we can be in relationships where one of us is in heavy ego and one of us is coming from higher soul. Can still be a soul relationship for everybody involved. What that contrast of energy means is that there is going to be supercharged growth. So that heavy, dense consciousness, or lack of consciousness, that heavy density, will get cleared out by the higher virtues. The higher virtues being inclusiveness and love and compassion and generosity and joy, yeah? So light dispels darkness. Love dispels hate. And it can be really rough in a relationship dynamic. It can also be really glorious to have that contrast, to be healed within that, to have our wounds recognized, to recognize and love on someone else's wounds and to lift the relationship up into flourishing. You know, what I've been taught is that it's the energies of the divine feminine, the energies of the mother, that kundalini shakti that is activating all of that cleansing that's happening in the container of the relationship. And all of that activation, anything the divine feminine animates, is always going to lead to expanded consciousness. That is the point. That is why we're here. And P.S., that's where the joy is. At the very least, that is where the satisfaction is. So, you know, there can often be a period of instability and pain on the surface of the relationship before the bliss, the turbulence, before the expansion and the clarity set in. But the bliss, expansion, the clarity, it will set in. It'll come. The joy is innate. Yeah. So if you think you're in a soul relationship rather than an ego-based relationship, so if you think you're in that soul relationship and things get tense, the healthy approach is going to be to just be with the temporary discomfort. Now, discomfort when you're in it can feel like it's never going to end. You want to know like when this is going to be over, how long. Don't know. But if you embrace the awareness that you're both here to root into, nurture, and nourish values of the heart, to live a heart-centered life, to create a heart-centered relationship, you can do it. Just dance with the discomfort a bit before you decide you have to bail out. This is a refinement process. There's a greater process here at work, and it can lead to so much beauty. Steady love always leads to so much beauty. So just reminder as we close this perspective on relationship nourishment, the difference between ego and soul relationships. It's the difference between being in a relationship to try and validate or invalidate your worth versus love for the sake of love. So expansive. Who knows how it's going to turn out, but it all works for greater love. Love for the sake of love. Go for that. Go for the soul relationships. It's always there. as a possibility for every one of us, for all of us, all the time. Here's our relationship nourishment visualization. Your breathing is natural. In your mind's eye, far, far above you, as far as you can see in the sky, you imagine seeing a small point of bright light, and it begins to slowly descend towards you. It's a beautiful orb of pulsing light. As it gets closer, you can see it's like a vibrant sun. It's full of life force, full of prana, solar flares, very dynamic. And it comes down and it hovers about 21 feet directly above you, pouring its life-giving rays down on you. You can call on this sun any time of day, any place, anywhere in the future. All right, so that light is shining down on you. You're basking in its rays. I'm going to list off some heart-centered virtues. You're going to breathe with them. You're becoming aware of these virtues stirring in your heart space, in your upper torso. Here we go. Compassion. Harmlessness. Courage. Resilience. Divine love, loving kindness, light, generosity, fearlessness, purity. And you're aware that these feelings, these heart-centered virtues, are being infused with the rays and the warmth of that sun shining down above you. And now just take in and consider this perspective. Communion happens through outer exchanges, inner solitude, and reflection. The deepest transformation happens through offering blessings to the container of the relationship. Growth has high velocity phases and slow periods, ebb and flow. Relationships inhale and exhale. And those interludes, those cycles are important to observe and understand and respect. When you honor that flow, you're allowing the seeds of the heart virtues to take root. This is so respectful and wise. So much beauty is growing from this. And if weeds seem to crop up, if pain occurs, then you just attend to your own shadow wounds with love. That is transmutation. And then you use those transmuted energies like a kind of mulch on soil to expand the landscape that is your heart. Love grows us. Build all relationships on the ground of your devotion to truth. Nurture all relationships by cultivating heart virtues. Sustain all relationships through forgiveness. Restore all relationships with hope. Renew all relationships with faith. And one more time, build all relationships on the ground of your devotion to truth. Nurture all relationships by cultivating heart virtues. Sustain all relationships through forgiveness. Restore all relationships with hope. Renew all relationships with faith. Relationship nourishment, reflection questions. If you're walking with me right now, or if you're writing in a journal, you can approach this in whatever way that feels right for you today. So you can notice the first answer that surfaces in your mind. In terms of what to focus on, you can focus on just one relationship for this reflection, or you can just see what relationship each question feels connected to. You could focus on a group of people that's like one whole relationship for you. All of these questions are open to your interpretation because life is open to your interpretation. All right, so let's do stream of consciousness, going deep. We are courageous and we are compassionate and we are all for love, and here we go. First question. What are five ways that you feel deeply nurtured? I'll just repeat that question. What are five ways that you feel deeply nurtured? How do you emanate love? How do you emanate love? How do you receive love? How do you receive love? How do you experience love? How do you experience love? How do you integrate love? How do you integrate love? Are you comfortable with the ebbs and flows of cycles in friendship and relationship? Are you comfortable with the ebbs and flows of cycles in relationships? Why? Why are you comfortable? Or why not? How can you cultivate more heart-centeredness? How can you cultivate more heart-centeredness? How can you be more inclusive? Inclusiveness is the key. How can you be more inclusive? Do your shadow aspects scare you? Do your shadow aspects scare you? Why? Why not? Are you willing and able to be more comfortable being with your wounded shadow aspects? Are you willing and able to be more comfortable being with your wounded shadow aspects? Are you willing and able to forgive situations from your past? Family, friends, betrayals, ex-lovers? Why? Why not? Are you willing and able to forgive situations from your past? Why? Why not? Final question. Are you willing to nurture, nourish, and replenish the darkest parts of your psyche? This is a two-part question. Are you willing to nurture, nourish, and replenish the darkest parts of your psyche? What soul virtue, what heart-centered virtue will you emanate? What heart-centered virtue can you pour into the darkness to show your love? What soul virtue will you emanate? What can you pour into the darkness to show your love? Take all of those revelations from your answers, all of those revelations you had for yourself, and apply them to your relationships. Take all of that wisdom and all of that willingness for loving yourself, for loving on your light and your shadow, and you pour all of that willingness, wisdom, and love into your relationships. Esoterically speaking, what you emanate, what you radiate, you receive. What you emanate, you receive. So can you go deeper into your love and emanate that? And remember, your soul sustenance, meaning fostering virtues of the heart, that's the priority. That is embodied fullness. That is love flowing. And you pour that energy into your relationship with yourself and all of your relationships. Love flowing, embodied fullness, soul sustained. Compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence. Compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence. Compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence. Compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence. Compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence. Compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence, compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence, compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence, compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence, compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence, compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence, compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence, compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence, compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence, compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence, compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence, compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence, compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence. Compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence. Compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence. Compassion, inclusive, communion, forgiveness, soul expansion, nourishment, streaming love, harmlessness, purity of intention, interdependence.